welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here.
Hello, my friends. How are you guys today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Hello. Welcome to it. So today we are going to do a really important thing that I do every now and then. I was thinking to myself, how often do I do it? Do a journal speak primer and a real back to basics, maybe once a year. And I know it's possible to scroll back and listen to old podcasts, and I often recommend that people do. But I also think that once in a while, when I'm getting a lot of feedback, questions, inquiries about the basic work, that I should come back here and just really get my hands dirty and talk about the basics of the brain science, the basics of journal speak, why this works, how it works for me, how it works for millions of people around the world, because people are curious. A few things that are going on right now that have led me to do this. The first is that I have this membership community that you hear about every so often on the podcast, and people are freaking healing. Like, people are changing, guys, and it is so fun to be in the space of that every day. I, as you know, stopped doing private practice a couple of years ago. And so when I am in the space with like people day to day doing the work, it's very exciting. And so this membership community is something that Lisa and I started about a year ago. We meet twice a month, once on Zoom for 3 hours, once for an hour-long Q&A, just like a laid-back hangout with me. And then every day, people are asking questions and helping and supporting each other, and I am answering questions on our private Facebook community. So if you're interested in joining us, just so you know, you just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, scroll down a touch, and you will see the button to join. It's $99 a month, and it's just, you get so much. You just get so much, and people are really changing. And if you guys, I know the ones who are listening who are members of the community are definitely cheering themselves and others on as they hear me say this, because it's actually really freaking fun. It's fun to watch. So anyway, a lot of the conversation in the community is always about basic questions. It's always about the brain science, the journal speak, TMS, what is it, why is it? And so that's inspired me to come here today. Another thing that's inspired me to come here, and you're going to hear a lot about this coming up, is that Lisa and I are really, really engaged right now in creating a teen curriculum. And we're working with actual teenagers, and it's been really inspiring. And they have so many great questions. Much more on that to come in the podcast. And so, so I've had my mind there on like, how do you explain this? How do you really just dial it in and explain this to people that are new to it? So that's another reason that it's been on my mind. And the third reason, as many of you know, is I am writing a book, and I am deep, deep into that process. It's my first book with, you know, major publisher, and I am excited, and I'm also really in it. I'm really in the work and in the thinking about the work. So there you go. So that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to slow it down in my brain, and I'm going to deliver to you what I think is the most basic and important set of points about TMS work. And, you know, there are millions of people suffering with different kinds of chronic conditions. And I'll just name a few, even though we'll get to why the specific way that it is manifesting in your body is not specifically that important. But in terms of, you know, naming what I hear about every day, there's structural pain, back, neck, shoulder, knee, hip, elbow, you know, just sciatica, that those the structural feelings of being in pain. There are headache disorders like migraine, like different types of neuropathy, like persistent daily headache, tension headaches. You know, there are the head disorders, there's the stomach stuff, irritable bowel disease, any sort of bacterial findings that you think are the reason for bloating or diarrhea or constipation. So there's the stomach stuff. There's long COVID, and long COVID is bracketed, you know, by a lot of different symptoms, that brain fog, fatigue, headaches, malaise, body pains, chest tightness, trouble breathing, chest pains. So there's the long COVID. And then there's skin disorders, and then there's pelvic disorders of all kinds, bladder urgency and frequency of urination. So I'm just really just casting wide net, but that is not a comprehensive list. But just so you know, that is that's what I hear about. I hear about that and more. And the reason I'm calling it TMS is because my mentor is Dr. John Sarno. Now, Dr. Sarno began as my doctor when I was in my 20s and I was suffering really acutely and chronically with back pain, with lower back pain. And I had been diagnosed with a condition called spondylolisthesis, very severe case apparently. And I was told that I was going to have a very limited life, no exercise, no travel, probably not going to be able to have biological children because of the weight of the baby on the front, stressing the back. I was told I would be in a wheelchair by 40 if I didn't have spinal fusion surgery, which had no guarantee of pain cessation and would limit my mobility for life. If you are interested in hearing the whole story in its full splendor, just go back to episode 1 of this podcast. It's called My Story. But anyway, the reason I use the term TMS is because Dr. Sarno coined this phrase, tension myoneural syndrome, to explain the umbrella under which all of those lovely symptoms I mentioned a moment ago live. Now, why do all those symptoms live under the same umbrella? Because the reason for most chronic pain, symptoms, syndromes, conditions, and discomfort in our society, the genesis of those symptoms are in the brain science of a dysregulated nervous system and the way we are stuck in long-term chronic fight or flight, the way our nervous systems perceive us to be unsafe. So he used TMS, and we don't have to delve too deeply into parsing what exactly TMS means. But he used that phrase, TMS, to help us have one place, just one place to put a label on this phenomenon of the brain science and what is happening to our bodies as a result. And the reason why it's important to just say TMS rather than my back pain or my migraines or my IBS or my pelvic pain is because all of those sensations that are coming through the body are different examples of the same process, the same genesis, the same brain science causes your migraine or your back pain or your pelvic pain or your IBS. And the reason that that is important to know is because many times as people are doing this work, as I have been walking them through for over 20 years, their migraines go away completely, completely. And then all of a sudden they call me and they say, but I have freaking irritable bowel now. And I go, yes, that's how it works. Because oftentimes TMS moves around as it's working its way out of your body because the nervous system is asking you if you need more protection. So let me pause here and start in the very basics. Okay. Why are we suffering? We are suffering because your brain and your nervous system perceive your repressed emotional world that triggers you into long-term fight or flight, your stress, if you will, as a greater predator to your life than your physical symptoms. That is the most important thing you get from me here. Your nervous system and your brain think you are in mortal danger if you feel that reservoir of repressed emotions that are overflowing. Your shame, your terror, your despair, your grief, and your rage. Your nervous system feels that those feelings are not safe. And it has good reason. Our society does not promote being enraged or living in grief and not being able to get past it or being despairing or being shameful or being terrified. No, our society is like, come on, buck up, get over it, turn the page, man up, woman up, do the thing. Take care of your kids, don't have boundaries, do everything for everyone all the time, overwork, overshow up. That's our society. And so your nervous system is sitting here going, how do I protect this being, my little being, my person that needs to go out into that big bad world where people are criticizing them and shaming them and triggering them and reminding them of their childhoods where things were really, really hard and really painful. And the nervous system sees all this input and says, that is not safe. That's not survivable. And what happens when the nervous system shifts into long-term chronic fight or flight, which is not a sustainable condition. Fight or flight is meant for short bursts in order to get us out of unlivable situations. There is a phenomenon that happens in the body where you are seen as protected by having physical pain or symptoms. And think about it. Pain is originated in our mind-body system as a source of protection. You know, why is your skin killing you when you have an infection from an open wound? Well, it's killing you so you can stop and pay attention to saving your own life. Back in early, you know, cave days, let's call it, if you got an infection and you didn't stop what you were doing and care for it, clean it and dress it in whatever way you could, you would die. That infection would become systemic and you would die. And so the reason for pain is for us to stop and pay attention to taking care of ourselves. Literally, it's asking us to draw boundaries. It's asking us to pay attention to what we need. And we just aren't built for that in 21st century society and haven't been for quite a while. And so why does the nervous system send back pain or a migraine or neuropathy or pelvic pain or anything that stops you in your tracks? Because it thinks you're going to die if one more person asks you to sign up for another committee, or if your mother criticizes you one more time, or if your friend group, you know, is talking behind your back and you don't know how to confront them because you're averse to conflict, or your children are like, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, until you want to die. You know, your nervous system thinks that is not a place where self-care is possible. So what is more safe? Mommy has a migraine. I'm going to go lay down. No, I can't do that. I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm saying I can't. And even though that is what I call safe in the unsafest way, your nervous system deems you safe there. And it will seek, as the brain always seeks, habitual safety that is predictable and that is something it thinks you can handle. And what's really kind of fucked up and crazy, but also so beautiful and revelatory about chronic pain of any kind is that you are actually in more control when you're dealing with it. You're making the doctor's appointments, you're canceling the plans, you're complaining to your friends and getting that support and that connection that complaining gives us. You're venting and people are stopping what they're doing to pay attention to you. It is actually logically safe. But that is safe in the unsafest way because you don't want a life of chronic anything. Migraines, fatigue, pain, stomach issues, like sucks. I've been there. I've been there many a time because as I spend my entire life dedicated to this work, all I do is get your symptoms, which is always really hilarious. And then I do the work and they pass. And I wear it loosely because I'm not scared. Because I know that sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies and they are literally interchangeable. So I could be having a bad mood or a sad mood or an anxious day and it is the same as having back pain or stomach aches or headaches. It's just a different way that is being expressed through my mind-body system. And so I'm not scared, but I have been you no matter who you are. I even had a little bit of a touch of long COVID, which I talk about in one of these podcasts on a real-time heal I do on myself. So that's what's happening. That is the basics of what is happening. You know, one thing that Gigi says, Gigi Cockell, who is one of Lisa and my colleagues who helps us teach the brain science at Omega and is a magnificent speaker, and she's also a recovered patient of this work. She had pelvic pain in her early 20s that was keeping her bedbound And she did this work. She found my podcast in the moment of horrible despair, did this work. And now not only is she completely pain-free and thriving and travels the world and speaks at Omega, but she's also a chronic pain coach. So a lot of people do this. They change their lives because of the impact it's had, you know, from doing this work. But anyway, one of the things Gigi says in her talks that I love is that your symptoms, whatever they are the alarm bell. They are the red, screaming, circling red light that is the fire alarm. And so we sit there tending to our symptoms, pointing a fire hose at the alarm bell. I mean, just imagine the hilarity of that image. There's a fire raging in the building, and on the top of the building, there is a red, I think of it as like a red cylindrical flashing and screaming fire alarm. And all of the firefighters arrive at the scene and they point their fire hoses and they are just dousing the alarm bell over and over while the fire rages. And that's what we do when we are obsessed with our TMS symptoms. You know, I have migraines, so I'm going to a headache specialist and I'm doing an elimination diet and I make sure to run for my prophylactic medication the moment I feel the migraine and I'm closing the shades and I'm getting in the dark and I'm, you know, that's aiming your fire hose at the alarm bell. What's the fire? What's the fire? How do we live in the solution? The fire is your repressed emotional world, your anger, your shame, your rage, your sadness, your grief, your embarrassment, all the big feelings in the reservoir, your daily life, the things that are pissing you off, the things that are triggering you into an unfelt and unseen inner child, and your personality, because you are a perfectionist or a goodist or hold yourself to such a high standard or your own worst critic, or you're so codependent that you're constantly worrying about other people or you run anxious. You know, these are all true things or have been true things about me at points in my life. These are the factors that are causing the real fire. The fire is the huge emotions that don't know where to go. So they keep triggering you into fight or flight and your nervous system keeps protecting you with your pain. We don't want to be aiming our fire hoses at the alarm anymore. So what do we do about that? Well, in my story, what happened to me is that I was in terrible chronic back pain. And my story is long. And like I said, I'm not going to repeat it all here, but I was in a very bad relapse. I had learned about Dr. Sarno's work, but I hadn't done the work. I understood the work enough to have a real respite from my chronic pain at the time, but I hadn't done the work and I was in a terrible flare. I really didn't understand what was going on. I was in physical therapy 3 days a week, electric stim treatments on my back. I was getting therapeutic massages. I was on muscle relaxers and opioid pain medications. It was absolutely a terrible shit show. I was a horrible mother and I was angry all the time and I was grieving. I cried myself to sleep every night. It was a terrible time. And I had an incident that allowed me to really say, okay, enough is enough. And I went to see Dr. Sarno in the city at the time he was practicing. And he explained to me about this reservoir that I'm talking to you about that's full of these huge feelings that I had no idea I had, honestly, and I had no idea needed to come out. I had no idea they were triggering me constantly into fight or flight and sending these pain signals. And I had no idea how to do it. Like, even if I knew they were there and knew they had to come out, I had no idea how to do it. And Dr. Sarno said one of the best ways that he has found, even though it sounds so crazy and so too good to be true and too easy to be true, is to journal about these feelings and to give them a steam valve. And then your body realizes, your brain and your nervous system realize that you're not in danger. If the feelings are the predator, okay, if the repressed emotional world, the unconscious repressed emotional world that needs your attention is the predator to your life. And if you turn toward these feelings and look at them, go into your darkest room and turn on the light. If you unmask these feelings and allow them to rise and you just feel them and you aren't afraid anymore, because like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to have a panic attack. Well, that sucks, but it can only last for so long. Or what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to feel just terrible. You're going to feel horrible shame and guilt. Right. Okay. But you do it. But you consciously do it. And I don't worry. I teach you how. So this is not something I'm asking you to figure out. But you do it. And what happens is the brain and the nervous system go, oh, shit. These aren't going to kill you. We don't have to protect you from these. You say, no, they actually really suck because life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worst, and they hurt, but they don't hurt as badly as being in chronic pain. Okay, all right. Then, if that's the case, then by simply looking into those darkest rooms and being and sitting with those little places inside of us, the inner children, the places that hurt, then the pain is not only unnecessary. It's the signals simply stop firing. And that's exactly what happened to me. So I go to Dr. Sarno. He explains to me this process. I understand it. And then I started to do this journaling work. And I was journaling. I thought about the things that were real in my life, motherhood and day-to-day stress and, you know, my marriage and my friends and my mother and my father, my dead father, who was huge trigger for me because of how critical he was. So I'm journaling about these things, but I was playing my tapes. I was telling stories that I already knew. And something happened to me, and it was really a very spiritual awakening moment for me because it was a voice that just came into my consciousness and said, "You're lying." But of course, I wasn't really lying. But the voice got my attention with "You're lying," because I was like, why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking that I'm lying? And I realized that it was not that I was lying. All those things that were true. I was a new mom. I was tired. I was overwhelmed. You know, my marriage was struggling. I did have a lot of voices in my head that originated from my father's critical voice. You know, all of that was true. But those were not the uglier, deeper, unconscious truths that were going to alleviate my pain. And I just knew it. I just knew it. And it was a terrible moment because I didn't want to think about anything darker. I didn't want to investigate. I didn't want to replace my fear with curiosity. I didn't want to do any of it. But, you know, as it is with our lives journeys, sometimes shit happens where you wake up. And I woke up in that moment and it was big. And I had a real conversation with myself. And I said, "Nicole, what is it? What?" And it was, and just, I know some people don't love that I swear all the time, but it's just important sometimes because sometimes a word has power. And I just sat with myself and I said, "What the fuck is it? Like, speak. Stop being so fucking afraid. Speak." And what happened in that moment is I penned the first line of journal speak ever written. I invented something. I evolved in real time, and I hand it today to you, which was, "I hate being a mother. I hate my life. I've ruined everything. I thought this is what I wanted, and it sucks, and I hate it, and there's no more me in my life, and I'm ruined, and I'm over." And I wrote that stuff on a piece of paper, and I looked at it, and I trembled. I thought I was going to throw up because there's no getting out of that once you know it. And you guys, here's the magical thing about journal speak. It doesn't stay true. The reason my first book, which I self-published in 2016, is called The Meaning of Truth, is because everything in life has a meaning for a moment. And then it can shift and change as you live authentically in your authenticity. So the meaning of truth, what is true? What does it mean for something to be true? Well, in that moment, I had to say it. "I hate being a mother. This is wrong. I have ruined everything. I am trapped and stuck and paralyzed. I cannot breathe." But as soon as I said it and looked at those words on the page, they just danced. I didn't hate being a mother. It's such a joke because, like, I'm like Mother Earth. I freaking live for parenting my three children. And I have I have a 21, a 19-year-old, and a 15-year-old. Like, these are not easy ages. And I don't care. I fucking love it. But there was something there. There was something that was the X marks the spot. I hate being a mother, was the X marks the spot, and I had to dig. And so I said, okay, all right, powers that be, whoever is inspiring me to my higher self, my deepest, my inner child, my deepest knowing, God, whatever you want to call it. And I got down and dirty and I said, why do I feel this? And then I said a lot of human things that, by the way, every single mother feels, which is like, where have I gone? Where is the me in this world? How can I live without my own needs being met? You know, like whatever I was writing. And I was gentle with myself. But then I really got there. I had a lot of rage. I was like, I don't hate being a mother. I hate my parents. They screwed me up and they made me feel like I wasn't important. And, you know, all these things that also didn't stay true. And then I went on and I hated myself for being so weak. And why can't you be a mother? Everybody's doing it. And, you know, I went on. And like I said, my whole story in full glory is in a lot of different places, among them the first episode of this podcast. But what was most important about that journal speak rant is I raged at motherhood and I raged at my children and then I raged at my own parents and then I raged at myself. And what I came down to was a real buried truth that I never would have known without doing this exercise, which is when I was little, I was an only child. I was lonely a lot. We moved a lot. I always had to make different friends. My parents had their own issues. And what happened to me was that I created this little fantasy that was very unconscious, which was one day I will have my own family. One day I will be the boss. One day I will be in charge. I will have these children. And because I have such pure intentions, I will have the most adoring children and they will fulfill all of my needs for my own loneliness and my own desire to have someone who looks like me and someone who knows me in this very, very special and unique way. I mean, it's so lovely and naive and it's so adorable. And it's not the way parenting is. You have children and they are who they are and they come out screaming, kicking, you know, complaining messes and they are full of love and full of joy and full of self-centeredness and they are full of needs and you're a mom and there you go. And we all know it. I don't have to say what motherhood is. It's all the things. It's beautiful and stunning and awful and terrible and exhausting and amazing and blah, blah, blah. We all know. But the thing is, I didn't know. I was still carrying around this lovely, sweet, adorable, unconscious notion that my children were going to fix my heart. They were going to heal my life. They were going to erase any pain from my childhood. And I had no idea I thought that. But once I uncovered it in this journal speak session, which I, God knows how long it went on, I arrived at such a place of compassion for myself and my parents and my children and my life and my inner children. And obviously, this is a truncated version of a very long process that started on that day and went on for months as I really carefully examined every area of my life, personality, and past through the lens of journal speak. But what I'm saying is I had a rather miraculous thing happen to me and something I have been shepherding people through for many, many years and watching them change their lives in dramatic fashion, which is I woke up the next morning after that original journal speak session and my back pain was about 80% gone. And I'm talking about a year of my life that had been stolen from me, where I could barely move, where I was having real acute incidents on a regular basis. And when I wasn't in acute pain, I was in chronic pain, both anxiety and in actual physical pain in my back. And after that 80% reduction, I did the work like a warrior. I did my own work that was being created in real time. And my back pain within, you know, a period of time, I always say don't watch the clock, but within a period of time was completely gone and has never returned. So I have the same spondylolisthesis, the same MRI, the same, you know, doctors would look at the same stuff right now and say I need the spinal fusion surgery or, you know, be astounded that I could walk upright and I am a runner. I travel the world. I carry heavy suitcases. My 15-year-old still likes to jump into my arms and she's 120 pounds. It doesn't matter. I can do everything because that is a normal abnormality. Dr. Sarno calls many, many things that are found on MRI and on X-ray, meaning bulging discs and different kinds of spondylolisthesis and different kinds of arthritis. And, you know, obviously always get checked out by a doctor first. Always, always, always. I am not against doctors at all. I use them. But once you find out that something is chronic, if a doctor says there is no cure, if there are no findings and you're still in pain, it is very likely that you fit this description of a TMSer like me. Like millions of you. And I never had back pain again. And I do all the things. And I'm 51. And they told me I wouldn't live to past 40 without the surgery, and here I am. So I use myself as an example. I'm always using myself as an example because it's the easiest access to this information. But also, if you're a fan of this podcast, you know I use hundreds of other people as examples because I interview them all the time from all walks of life. And the result is the same. So now we're going to go back to the original thought that we were sharing at the beginning of the pod, which is, it is immaterial how your TMS shows up. So it was back pain for me. That was my invitation into this work. But as I moved through the process, as I was speaking, working with Dr. Sarno, speaking at NYU to hundreds of people a month on the alumni panel, I opened my private practice. I was working directly with Dr. Sarno. He was referring patients into my practice. So I'm like, a big success story. And you know what started to happen? Hilariously, I started to get really bad headaches, like persistent headaches. And I had no idea they were connected at the time because I thought I have back pain and my back pain is resolved as a result of this work. And I was sitting on the alumni panel. This is a story I really love. And I was speaking. I was on the stage as a recovered person, sharing with hundreds of people in the audience who were asking me questions and the other panelists questions. There were four of us a month. I was sharing, and in the middle of the session, it occurred to me, oh my God, my headaches are the same. My headaches are my back pain. It's the exact same. It just came to me. And I raised my hand and they handed me the microphone and I said it, and everyone was laughing because it was so great. It's so great to realize something in the moment. And I am always a fan of just vulnerability and humility. Like I don't have to be the expert on it. I can say, oh my God, I just realized this. Holy shit. And people really do appreciate it. And you should feel free to do the same because we are just human beings, guys. We're just doing our best. Left foot, right foot, breathe, trying to walk through life. And so I said that on the pod, and I mean on the stage, and it was really funny. But through knowing that and through doing the work with my laser focus on the headaches went away. And I never get chronic headaches anymore. I get a headache. Sometimes I feel like a little soreness in my back when something's irritating me. You know, I'll have a stomach ache, you know, when my kids are driving me crazy or when I'm stressed over work or when I have to meet a deadline. I'm a human being. There is no cure for human pain, and there's no cure for the human condition. But there's a cure for chronic pain, because chronic pain and fatigue and symptoms and syndromes and chronic anxiety and depression are all the same. They are generated from the mind-body system, and they are here to protect us from that which our nervous system and our brains think cannot be survived, which is this repressed emotional world. So your chronic pain will move. Once you start doing this work, something called Dr. Sarno calls the symptom imperative. So my symptom imperative began as back pain, moved to headaches. I moved to stomach aches at one point, and it just floats around. No big thing. You know, you just address it. You just do your journal speak. So, okay. So let's talk about journal speak for one more moment here to kind of close this up. So I explained to you just now the flavor of journal speak, which is an inner rant inviting in your toddler inside, your five-year-old, your unreasonable child. It is a 20-minute exercise. So a journal speak practice is 30 minutes a day. It is 20 minutes of journal speak where you will have this free expression. You pick a topic. Dr. Sarno, and once again, a lot of this information, if this is too quick for you, is on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. It's on my YouTube channel of the same name. It's spoken about all the time on this podcast. And there's also an episode at the beginning, I think it's episode 2, called Journal Speak, Your New Best Friend, if you want to hear more about it. But Dr. Sarno, his initial suggestion was you make three lists. one of past stressors, just a bulleted list of everything you can think of in your childhood that is unresolved, a bulleted list of daily stressors, daily life, you know, the names of every member of your family, stuff that's going on, money, job, boss, friends, spouse, you know, COVID, like whatever it is, you know, that's left over from the last few years of life, that goes on that list. And then the personality list is personality characteristics that might lead you to repress emotions. You're very self-critical. You're a perfectionist. You're constantly, you know, judging yourself. You're worried terribly about what other people think. You're self-conscious. You're codependent, you know. So I'm really running through this quickly, but I want it to be in one place that you make these lists. And then every day you take 20 minutes followed by 10 minutes of meditation. So it's a 30-minute practice. And you write in the voice that I just described to you. You just freaking say it. You swear, you rant, you cry, you celebrate, because sometimes TMS is just big, big feelings. Sometimes you're just really excitedly anticipating something and you could be getting a stomach ache or a headache. Like, it happens. So whatever happens in that 20 minutes of that journal speak session, whether you get to compassion or figure something out, which happens a lot, or it feels like a whole lot of nothing, it doesn't matter because it's a daily practice. You erase it. You dump it out. As an old client of mine said, it's like blowing your nose in a tissue. You don't have to look at it again. Dump it out, flush it, throw it out. I like to type into a blank document and then erase it. Some people like to write it longhand and then rip it up into a public garbage can. You don't need to keep, some people burn it in their backyards. You don't need to keep it. The point is you're venting it. And when you're done with those 20 minutes, whatever came, and most of the time after I'm done with the super big journal speak rant, I don't even remember the next day what I talked about. It doesn't matter. We are informing the brain and the nervous system that you are capable and willing to feel, and to feel rage and to feel shame and to feel grief and despair and terror and all the things that are deemed, they're saying, no, 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 fire alarm, this is unsafe. And you're going, no, 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 no. Hand to heart, double hand to heart. I can do it. I know you think I'm not safe, but I'm okay and I can do it. So you do 20 minutes of this type of talk. You erase it and then you sit down for 10 minutes of loving kindness meditation. I don't care if you sit in silence. I don't care if you do a walking meditation quietly through nature. I don't care if you listen to singing bowls or you listen to a guided meditation, anything to just center yourself. It's okay. It's okay. I can feel. I have permission. I know I've been told that these kind of things are not nice. I know I've been told that I shouldn't say that I hate my parents. I shouldn't say that I don't believe. I shouldn't say that I don't want to be a mom anymore. I shouldn't say that I want to give it all up and walk away and never come back. It's just words, guys. It's just a little kid inside. I know you don't want to say it. That's why your nervous system is protecting you with all this pain. But there is a magic in saying it that you have no idea. The braver you are, the bolder you are, the more willing you are, the more you're going to get to and the more quickly your symptoms are going to vanish. And I love saying this because it's always like, how is that possible? And it's not only possible, it's for certain. If you do this work with belief, with the right mindset, which you get by marinating in these podcasts and by allowing your body to be your proof, if you do this work with belief and patience and kindness for yourself, self-compassion practice, and you do the work daily, at least in the beginning, it's not a life sentence, but at the beginning, you should do it consistently, you will see changes in your body, in your experience of life, and in your anxiety, and in your lightness of being that you will not believe. It is a modern day miracle. I see it every day in myself. I see it every day in my kids. I see it every day in the people that write to me from all over the world. I see it really beautifully and clearly in my membership community. And it can happen for you. This is available to you. So here we are. Just wanted to give a primer. As always, I never have a plan for these things, but I think I got to the important points. If you are confused, if you need more guidance. First of all, of course, there's my membership community. There's also, I have a larger community called Journal Speak with Nicole Sacks on Facebook where people are in conversation, and it's a great place to connect and to be in community. And you can go over to Instagram and follow me at Nicole Sacks LCSW because I put out content there often. And I'm going to be doing some Instagram lives coming up really soon, both on just answering questions on this general work and then talking about how Lisa and I have a really a passion for bringing this to teenagers. We have five of our own teenagers from the ages ranging from the ages of 12 to 21. 21-year-old's still a teenager, by the way. And they are all benefiting tremendously from this work, and we're using specifically one of them to help us really get it out there. So much more on that to come. And I hope this helped you today, because really, truly, you have more power than you realize to affect your physical and mental health and emotional health. And I want to empower you. All right, my loves, if you're enjoying this podcast, it is a great favor to me if you go over to iTunes and rate and review it. Helps more people find the podcast. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sacks with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you then.